Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're studying a Sunday school lesson about life in the early church, and the focus of this lesson is in the latter part of Acts chapter 4 and the first part of Acts chapter 5. But along with this lesson, there's a devotional reading from the 15th Psalm. And we also want to look at the reference material from letters that Paul wrote to those churches, Colossians 3, verses 5 through 15, and Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 32. And after the reading of those, we'll get into the Sunday school lesson itself. I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's look at our devotional reading. It's the 15th Psalm. The inscription to this psalm is a psalm of David. Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Him that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, that speaketh truth in his heart, he that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear Jehovah, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. And now I want to look at the reference material. I'm going to turn in my Bible here to the book of Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. Put to death, therefore, your members which were upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, or for which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked when ye lived in these things. But now do ye also put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, saying that you put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which also ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful. The other reference material is back in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 32. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, and having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church, because we're members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and his church. In this Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of April the 19th, 1925, we're going to be stressing the sinfulness and consequences of lying, emphasize the different ways of lying, and show the safety and beauty and power and consistency of truth. There are a number of verses we should read as we get into this. The first one being Exodus 20 and verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Proverbs 11 and verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to Jehovah, but a just weight is his delight. Matthew chapter 6 verses 2 through 4. When therefore thou dost alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But speaking truth in love may grow up into all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. And then finally, Revelation 22 and verse 15. Without are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and every one that loveth and maketh a lie. Now we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles their witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. For neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto each, according as any one had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. We see that life in the early church was a life of unity and of generosity. There were at that time thousands of believers, as stated by these verses, and they were of one heart and soul. In this unity of the Spirit and great grace, there was manifested great benevolence. No one said that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Those who possessed houses and land sold them and laid the price at the apostles' feet in order to supply the wants of the needy. None lacked. Only the needy received anything. This was a common fund or treasury out of which to supply the needy. The liberality of Christians today should equal the necessity, even if that requires a sale of property. When the church today is of one heart, soul, and great liberality prevails, the cause of Christ prospers, and preaching the word is more effectual. The manifestation of this great benevolence is given as a reason for saying great grace was upon them all. Joseph, whose surname was Barabbas, is named here as having a field, selling it, and laying the money at the apostles' feet. He was a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, and his name Barnabas means son of consolation. In contrast with the generosity of Barnabas is stated the sins of Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas was mentioned here too, most probably because of his future prominence as a teacher and preacher and companion of Paul. It's in the next chapter that we read about the falsehood and death of Ananias. We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. With the unity and peace and grace and liberality of the church at Jerusalem must be recorded, the hypocrisy and lie of Ananias and Sapphira must be recorded as well." But connects their case with that of Barnabas. They desired the praise bestowed upon Barnabas and others for liberality without manifesting that liberality. They sought praise and credit for doing what they had not done. They were moved by different wrong motives: the love of money and the love of applause. The love of money kept them from giving more than they did give, and the love of praise of men and not love of God prompted them to give what they did and then to lie about that. They wanted to appear that they had given their possessions bought. So strong were these motives that they agreed to lie as they did. But if they had given through the love of applause all their goods to feed the poor, and even their bodies to be burned, it would have profited them nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3. But why record this and its fearful consequences? The record shows two things at least: God's condemnation of lying and hypocrisy, and that the divine record is indeed divine. You see, men conceal the wrong of their institutions and the sins of their friends. God records all alike. David was a man after God's own heart, yet in his weakness he sinned, and God justly recorded it all. Abraham is called God's friend forever, yet God recorded his mistakes. And so with Moses and Peter and all. Referring to the sins of the Israelites, the Lord says, they have been recorded for our instruction and warning. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 15. We learn from the story of Ananias and Sapphira that it is a fearful thing to lie, and devil, in this case, is the father of lies, and when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own.